Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with an investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI, an SEC-registered investment advisor. 674 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana. Hello, everyone. David Hayes. I'm actually live in the studio on this Saturday morning, post-Christmas, prior to New Year's Day. Thank you so much for joining me. It's going to be a good show today. We're just going to kind of wrap up the year. Doug Hughes is going to call in a little while to talk about some New Year's resolutions from a financial perspective, how to stick to them. You know, it's really hard to stick to those New Year's resolutions. We all talk about eating less, exercising more, but what about your financial budget and the savings rate, paying down debts, things like that that are really in the face of most people as they head into the new year. Last night or a couple nights ago, I put a call out to the guys at Conference of Financial and said, hey, I'm doing a live show Saturday morning. If anyone wants to come by and join me, come on by. And I had one call to action, the reliable. We're going to call him the big fundamental this morning, stealing Doug Hughes' term. Wayne Thacker, everybody.
Stealing Doug Hughes' term that he gave himself.
He gave himself the self-proclaimed the big fundamental. We have a lot of fun at our office, and we make fun of each other and have a lot of nicknames. But had a good Christmas week, family, a lot of friends at time. Good Christmas morning, Wayne. Everybody at your house settled in pretty good on Christmas?
Everybody settled in great.
We always have kind of a tradition that on Christmas night, after everyone's kind of eaten, open presents, most of the family is gone, a few of us will go to the movies. Well, this year, I was pretty set on seeing Unbroken. My family, we were kind of voting, and everyone was like, well, let's go see the Night at the Museum, Unbroken. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to guess a number between 1 and 10, and I put a number, my hand behind my back, and whoever gets the closest wins. And I said, I guess 2. And I picked up 2. So I won because I was, of course, the one that made the rules. And plus, I was paying for the admission. So we went to see Unbroken. Really good for people who have any sense of history, any sense of patriotism. You know, my great uncle Paul, my granddad's brother, was a prisoner of war in World War II. And as I was watching this movie, I was reminded of the stories that Uncle Paul told right before he passed away, because those guys didn't talk a lot about this stuff. They just didn't. Well, my cousin Mike, he pinned his dad down with some ice cream, bribed him, and started talking to him about the war. You know, and he described some of the scenes when he was shot down. He was a gunner on a B-52, was shot down and basically, you know, hid for several days with some of his crew, finally were captured by the Japanese, and, you know, it wasn't a fun time. And this movie, Unbroken, kind of brought to me a visual image of what my Uncle Paul had talked about, you know, being piled onto a train car, standing room only, people dying next to you. It was really something. So if you want to see a good movie that kind of makes you appreciate what we have and why we should be so appreciative of our freedoms in this country, definitely go see Unbroken. People, the critics that, you know, see the movie and talk about, well, this scene was too long or that scene was too long, I would agree. There were some things that they probably labored a little long on, but as far as just a great movie goes, I'd definitely go see Unbroken. So maybe if we vote again, my family will get their wish and we'll go see Night at the Museum. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about news of the week. Believe it or not, there was quite a bit of news, and most of it was good. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Live edition Saturday morning of Your Money. Wayne Thacker's joining me live in the studio, one of the financial advisors over at Comprehensive Financial Consultants. And, Wayno, you said your family did go see The Night at the Museum, and you said it's a pretty good series.
It's a pretty good series. You know, I still have that young audience at home, so every movie we see is like some kind of cartoon or animation still.
Yeah, well, and that was my family as well up until about a year ago. Yeah. So we've graduated on, and that movie, The Unbroken, was based on a very much a true story, and it's really cool. So if you get a chance, go check it out. Hey, before we check in with Doug Hughes on some New Year's resolutions, financial style, we're going to go to some news of the week brought to you by Lance Like of the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call my buddy Lance at the Like Law Group, 323-8300. Well, shoppers' late rush give hope to retailers. I was probably one of those late guys to the table. I'm sure Wayne was well ahead of the shopping crowd, probably even before Thanksgiving, had all the shopping done for his lovely wife, Heather. But unlike Wayne, most people waited to the last minute. American shoppers were on track to deliver a welcome Christmas gift to retailers, the best holiday sales growth in 3 years, according to the Council of Shopping Centers. They're basically saying that, hey, people are finally opening up their pocketbooks in light of the lower gas prices. And the U.S. economy gained some momentum. The U.S. economy is rounding out 2014 in a sweet spot of robust growth, according to the Wall Street Journal. Sustained hiring, falling unemployment, stirring lots of optimism that a post-recession breakout has arrived. The Commerce reported that the U.S. economy expanded at 5%. That's pretty amazing. Seasonally adjusted annual rate in the third quarter, strongest pace in 11 years. Consumer spending accelerated in the last few months. Rising incomes, falling gas prices, all attributed to that. And while the sense that the economy could shift into higher rates of growth into the 2015 timeframe, 2016, 2017, some are even projecting, and the Dow moving above 18,000 for the first time, the big question still remains, can consumers sustain that momentum into 2015? There's still signs that the economy is far from full health. Inflation is still low. There's things that are still out there signaling the weak economic growth, like low commodity prices. Of course, low gas prices and oil prices means lower demand. And then, of course, here in the U.S., we have this aging population. The older you get, not the less money you make, but the less you spend. According to the Wall Street Journal as well, speaking of countries that have been on their tail for a long time from an economic perspective, and also demographics are working against them, the Japanese government bond yield sank to their lowest level on Thursday. They're actually, here's the thing, listen to this. The benchmark 10-year Japanese government bond was yielding just 0.31% in the afternoon trading. That's $3.10 a year on $1,000. That's crazy. Yields on shorter-term Japanese government bonds are even lower or even non-existent. In fact, Thursday, the government auctioned two-year bonds for the first time, yielding a negative rate of return. Actually, if you bought a two-year bond from the Japanese government, your negative yield is 0.003%. So here's the deal. I mean, the Bank of Japan hopes to spark at least 2% inflation, prod big investors to look at riskier assets by basically holding yields so low. And on one measure, it's actually succeeded. The Nikkei stock average is up 14% since October. You know, just as a comparison, the U.S. government bond 10 years at 2.265. So right now, that looks like a pretty good deal. Speaking of countries out there that are having trouble spurring growth, China, it's actually relaxing a major restraint on banks' abilities to use deposits to make loans. This, of course, is aimed at kickstarting growth in the world's second largest economy. Analysts estimate the move will roughly inject about around $243 billion in the banking system. The move comes as the Chinese economy continues to struggle. China's economy has been losing steam due to a number of factors, including a slumping housing market over there. You know, 7.5% growth sounds really good to us, but it's been declining on a regular basis. And, you know, when you have big economies that aren't doing well, you know, they buy stuff, and if they're not out there to buy stuff, that causes the economies of other countries, even like ours, to go in the wrong direction. And then finally, I told you this was coming, and it finally happened, but just probably too late for most people. Congress has passed the Tax Incentive Prevention Act of 2014. I would have brought this to you earlier, but because of the, you know, Christmas Day and the fact that I wasn't live in the studio much prior to this passage, I didn't get a chance to tell you about it. So here's the thing. What does that mean? Well, it means that this bill contains an extension of the qualified charitable distribution provision for 2014 only. Now, qualified charitable distribution, if you're over 70 and a half, you can give money directly to a charity from your IRA and it not be included in your taxable income. It satisfies your minimum distributions as well. That's the lure of this whole thing. But they have to be done before December 31st. Now, most people have already taken their RMDs at this time. If you haven't, you need to. There's a 50% penalty for the amount you don't take out, so you have to take it. You should take it. But that doesn't mean you can't still do a qualified charitable distribution. You can do up to $100,000 per person. So maybe you've committed to a campaign at church or to something, some other organization that you're going to give money to. This is a way for you to accelerate it and get it done without it being included in your taxable income. It has not been extended for 2015 yet, but it probably will be at some point. But I told you to do it if you were charitably inclined, give directly from your IRAs if you're over 70 and a half, and this would come to fruition. It has. So those that have been doing it all year long, you are solid. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some New Year's resolutions from a financial perspective. Wayne Thacker in studio. Doug Hughes will be calling in. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Wayne Thacker's in studio live with me on this Saturday morning post-Christmas holiday and prior to the New Year's Day. This show will replay on New Year's Day at 6 o'clock. Of course, you can always catch it on WGCLRadio.com. Also joining me on the telephone from the great state of Illinois, the southern part of Illinois, Mr. Doug Hughes. Hey, Doug, good morning.
Hey, good morning, David. Merry Christmas. I hope you had a good holiday.
We did. We had a very good one, and thanks for taking the time. This section is right up your alley, Doug, and we're going to have Wayne chime in as well. New Year's resolutions. You know, a lot of folks this time of year, Wayne, make New Year's resolutions. Most of them don't follow through with it. Usually it's about a week or two into the new year, right?
That's right. I've been trying to lose weight for about 30 years now.
Well, you said you've lost at least 1,000 pounds.
At least. But it's been the same 20, you know, 50 times.
Over and over. Doug Hughes, and Doug, I know you're not probably a big New Year's resolution guy. You're kind of a goal-setting guy throughout the year. And you know, but this is a good time of year for people to sort of hit the reset button, rethink their financial situation. You know, a lot of folks out there, as an example, you might be a couple in your early 50s. The kids, for the most part, are on their own. You have good jobs. You're making good money. You're ready to do this. You're ready to track your finances, your spending, your income. But, Doug, I guess the real question is, how do they even get started? Because it's hard for people to break these kind of habits.
Well, you know, David, it's interesting. We all have passions. I was thinking about this and talking to my family about it this week. You know, some families are very passionate about their health and ignore their wealth. Some families are very passionate about education and let other things go. And I think one of the things that's so important is to take a step back and recognize that your passion can cause you to ignore some of the necessary planning that's out there. Yesterday I spent the entire morning with a good friend of mine, a financial advisor over here in Illinois, who this past year, 2014, in his 25 years of being in the business, had the largest number of deaths that he had among his client base. And they ranged in age from 43 to 89. And what he was talking to me about yesterday was just seeing the completion of plans. And so my question to him was, well, how did those plans get started, just like you're talking to me about now? And he had a lot of interesting stories about how people just got started. For some people, it was their parent bringing them in to get them started as younger people. Other people, they just for the first time in their life had a lump sum of money put in front of them, as we have seen through pension buyouts. But the large majority of them were just people who sat down and recognized, listen, I can guess for returns and I can guess for numbers, but I don't really know how to put a whole plan together. And so, you know, as we go into the new year, I think that one of the most important things people can do is, again, step back for just a moment from those things that cause them or take up the majority of their time and recognize, you know, I've got to do some financial planning. And whether it's just sitting down with someone at Comprehensive Financial and laying a few things out or looking over many areas, the completion of the plan speaks volumes over the time it takes to get started. And I think a simple evaluation of where you are is where all of this really begins. And for the most part, people know. I mean, if you're drowning in credit card debt, a lot of people know that. There's enough commercials out there to remind you that there's ways to get out of that. If you haven't saved enough money or don't really have a retirement plan in place, most people pretty well know that, particularly if they're talking around the holiday table, like, you know, and saying things like, I'll never be able to retire, or I'm going to have to work till the day I die. Most people know that. But with that information, a lot of times people just kind of look the other way and aren't as engaged. But the reality is that 2015 is going to be a great year for anyone listening to sit down, recognize where they're at, and then get started heading in the right direction.
You know, I think a lot of New Year's resolutions are broken because of lack of accountability. You know, Wayne, whenever I started really exercising and working out about 4 years ago, I was probably doomed to fail. I'm lazy. I didn't want to do it. I still don't really enjoy it that much. But one person said to me, you'll never stick with this. I don't know why you're wasting your money. Well, that motivated me. And you're a lot like me, Wayne, that when someone says you can't do something, watch out, baby.
You're bar motivated
the door
to do it, yeah.
So someone has to keep you accountable. Someone maybe can be that sounding board, the person that gives you the motivation stick
right.
to it.
And some people just need a coach. You know, all the best athletes in the world, the best business owners, everybody has a coach. And that's a little bit about what we do on the financial side. We coach people through their financial lives.
Doug, don't you think a lot of people listening think, all right, these guys are financial advisors. I have to have already a pile of money for them to work with me before I can come in. You know, they're all about preserving, protecting wealth and doing retirement distributions. Well, I'm not even there yet. I think a lot of people are intimidated by it. But Doug, the fact is, 21 years ago when I started in this business, I remember sitting down with people and helping them with their 401k allocations over at Cook Incorporated, or sitting down with my friends and setting up a $50 a month draft into a mutual fund, or setting them up with some term life insurance. Doug, you don't have to have a pile of money to work with a financial advisor, do you?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of people, again, to your point, they make the decision not to make an action just because they feel like they don't have enough to get started, or they don't have enough to pique the interest of someone to help them out. So it's easier just to sit on the sidelines or perhaps put your money in a target date fund and forget about it and just hope things work out in the long run. But to Wayne's point about the coach, one of the things we've talked about on this radio show quite a bit is that, you know, accumulating the money is only half of the equation, and then distributing is the second half of the equation, or the game. But if you're not engaged in the first half of the game, it's really not going to matter when you come to the second half of the game. And I know we talk a lot about retirement income distribution and so forth on the show, but the accumulation side is so vital to the entire game, because you're building up all along the way. So the person who coaches you to wealth, they can also obviously help you distribute the wealth in retirement, but the person who helps coach you to wealth might have a bigger role than you might think they do.
You know, as you talk about having a financial advisor just getting started, and maybe you don't have that big pile of money, you know, I've always looked at it this way. Find an advisor that wants to invest in you just the same way that you want to invest in yourself, because what our job is to help you create that big pile of money, Wayne, to someday invest. But, you know, Doug, I think when you start off with a financial advisor, it's not all about just savings and investing. One thing, and I know we're all big proponents of this, going into retirement debt-free and as soon as possible makes the most sense, but paying off debts, saving and investing. Talk about how much you actually can reasonably help others, like your adult children or your own parents. You know, I think a lot of people get Doug dragged down and Wayne by being almost overly generous, and I'm not trying to, I mean, I'm a little bit that way, so I understand that when they keep coming back to the well over and over and over. If you have a financial advisor, a coach, an accountability partner, someone to kind of keep your feet to the ground, blame it on them. Say, you know what, I just can't do it. Wayne, that's another good idea.
You know, every coach will tell you one of the best things that you can learn is the ability to say no, whether that's to yourself or to someone else.
Doug, you know, that's always a big problem, and that's hard for someone who's very generous, who has the money, to say no to their adult children or grandchildren when it comes to just handing out money.
Absolutely, David, and we've adopted this concept in the office quite a bit, to sit down with people and say, okay, how much is enough, how much is not enough, and how much is too much, and try to work into those numbers. And, you know, people, it's not just when kids are adults or children or grandchildren around. People struggle with this even when we're talking about college education planning and the first car. So the whole idea of coming to the same page and having your kids understand what's enough, what's not enough, and what's too much, it's a lifelong challenge and discussion. But you're exactly right. And if there's anything that's going on in our current economy that should be eye-opening to the people who live in this country, is the very large number now of kids and grandkids who are living back at home. They're just having a hard time getting rolling in this economy and getting things going. So we have a lot of college education debt that people are having a hard time getting out from under. Perhaps they bought a house and they've indebted themselves with a house and a car and all the things that go with it, and they've had a significant job change. But back to your point for one moment, David, about your financial advisor. You know, a good financial advisor who's worth their hire is someone who's also talking to you about your emergency fund, not just someone who's talking to you about putting money into long-term savings plans. So if anyone's out there listening, you know, if you're interviewing financial advisors, that's a question that needs to be asked. Will you help me or coach me or guide me on my short-term emergency savings fund? Because what ultimately happens, and I've drawn this picture many times, the path of life. You know, we draw a zero when we draw $1 million 30 years later. We just assume this perfect outcome, and the curve looks really big from, you know, 500,000 to $1 million. The returns are much greater, but oftentimes, and there's probably a lot of people who can identify with this listening, you know, you get started and you get a good amount of money in your 401k, and then the kids need braces, or someone has a death in the family and you have to, you know, come up with some money for that, or someone has a big expense in the household that you didn't expect, or the furnace, or the list goes on, and people begin taking out loans and borrowing money against their 401k or their Roth IRAs, and then that path of life, that zero to $1 million, really doesn't get to where it could have been, because somewhere along the way someone didn't prepare for the short-term things or the immediate needs.
Doug Hughes is on the phone with us, financial advisor over at Conference Financial. Wayne Thacker is live in the studio with me on this post-Saturday edition of Your Money with David Hayes of the Christmas holiday. And Doug, you know, as real quick before we take a break, not only creating an emergency fund, but helping a person track their expenses. You know, there's a lot of money that falls through the cracks. It may be that, you know, you're paying too much on a cable bill, or your cell phone stuff is too high, or maybe that you should make coffee at home and not pick it up at Starbucks. All these little things add up for sure. Revisit your retirement plans. How to get started with, you know, raising your savings rate. You know, it's really easy in this country for most of us who have 401ks to simply go on the computer and take that savings rate from 10% to 12 or 13 or 14% and just live with it. You know, most people will live on what they bring home. Make savings automatic and part of your payment plan, as I used to say, and then leave your debts behind. You know, as you talk about debts and shedding debts, there's a lot of good books out there. Of course, we've always promoted the Dave Ramsey books, The Baby Steps. If you feel like you're swimming in debt, just take it one little step at a time and you can get there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a little preview of the book that Doug and I are working on, and actually it's pretty much done. We're going to send it to the publisher, I believe, this week or next week, hoping to get it out soon, Your Guide to Retirement Planning, a resource for adults ages 50 and over. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, if you were really bored over the last few years and occasionally would go to our website, cfci.us, and check kind of our profiles or our bios, you would see in my bio, Wayne, that just about every 3 or 4 months I'd have to update it, because it would say, you know, David is going to be an author of a soon-to-be-released book. This will be out before the end of 2013,
right,
before the fall of 2015, you know, or 13 and 14. I mean, it was on and on and on. And Doug, it was about a year ago that I said, Doug, I think you and I just need to co-author this book. I'm struggling with it. We need to get it done. And Your Guide to Retirement Planning, a resource for adults ages 15 and over, was born. And it finally is done. It's going to head to the publisher next week and hopefully will be out before the end of January, or certainly before Valentine's Day. What a great Valentine's Day gift to give your husband or wife. Right, Doug?
I can think of nothing better.
We haven't established the price. We don't know anything yet. We picked out the cover. We finally got away from the drunken golfer and overzealous wife cover. We got rid of that one. More of a plain Jane cover, as we used to say. I'm really excited about it, Doug. And you know, this book has taken a long time. Wayne, both of our sons are pushing. Mine's just turned 14. You'll be 14. I was reading at sections because someone asked me, how long has it been since you started the book? I said, well, in one of the sections on estate planning, it refers to my son, my 12-year-old son. Well, he just turned 14. So at least 2 years that we've been working on this. But Doug, we've been teaching retirement planning classes through Indiana University Continuing Education, through Ivy Tech's Lifelong Learning Center for quite some time. This culmination of all this information that we've been teaching, what we tried to do is boil that down into a book that's really more of a resource guide, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we understand fully that there are a lot of books out there on this subject. And so the goal was not just to have, you know, a point-by-point lecture, but really was a guide where someone could kind of, you know, even if they wanted to, take a pen and not feel bad about circling where they are and moving things around and those kind of things, to recognize that this is the path that I'm on. Because as we've talked many times before on the show, there's a great book, Am I a Stock or a Bond? And the truth is that this guide really addresses both of those people, whether you're a stock or a bond or kind of what's going on. You know, we need to understand these things. How does our income come in today? And how do we plan for retirement with a volatile income, or how do we plan for it with a steadily or slow and steadily rising income? But that's just, again, as we discussed in the last section, that's half the game. The next half of the game is, how do I want my income? Do I want my income to be volatile? Do I want it to be based on a volatile market? Or how do I want my income and retirement to be? And then also, if there's a guide to making the big decisions around the ages that are big, 59 and a half, the first time you can take money out without a 10% penalty, or 62, your first opportunity to take Social Security, which Wayne would probably say not to, or 65, Medicare, or 66, your full retirement age, or 70 and a half, when you have to start taking RMDs. So we have a lot of information and in helping people make those decisions as they kind of navigate through those pretty traumatic 10 or 12 years when it comes to financial decision making.
Yeah, I was reading the first chapter again last night, and it's that first chapter is really a get you ready to get ready kind of a chapter. And it's a fun, easy read for most people. But then after that, it is more of a resource guide. Do I want to know about estate planning? I can turn to that. Is it investments that I want to learn more about? I can turn to that. What about income sources and retirement? Or, it's just a matter of going through the chapters of what are meaningful to you. Or what about going through the exercises that we have in the beginning of the book to help you and your significant other get on the same page when it comes to retirement? I got some good quotes for our back cover. Of course, Ed Slott, the IRA distribution expert, according to the Wall Street Journal, and a good friend of mine, as I've been part of his elite group for a long time. I told Ed, Ed, would you mind giving me a little quote for the back? He said, no. What he sent me was almost a book, so I had to prune it down a little bit. But he gave us a great quote, Doug, that says, the word retirement for today's retirees and soon-to-be retirees means exactly the opposite of what it meant for our parents and grandparents. It now means the beginning rather than stopping. What will be your next beginning? Financial advisors Doug Hughes and David Hayes help you figure it out in Your Guide to Retirement Planning, a resource for adults ages 50 and over. This book actually forces you to prioritize by taking you through a personal and personal and financial inventory to create a plan that will allow you to follow it because it's your plan. The section on the Big Ten major financial planning roadblocks by itself is worth the price of admission and invaluable for everyone. He says this book will guide you with the practical advice, not only on tax, investment, and estate planning, but coordinating it with your own personal wish list for the next beginning of your life. Like I said, Doug, he almost wrote a book in and of itself, and I believe this is the pared-down version. But Ed, always been a good friend of the show and a big proponent of our office, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, and we've known Ed for quite a while. He's kind of carved out a niche that not many people out there have covered. When you think back 10 years ago, everyone was trying to have the newest and the latest and greatest ETFs and sector rotations, and those are the people who get a lot of the bells and whistles and a lot of the accolades. But Ed took on IRA planning and distribution planning, which at some point people kind of get a little bit numb to returns and really are worried about their taxes and what's the best way to take and distribute this nest egg over their life or over their spouse's life or over their spouse and their children's lives.
And then,
so he took a stab at that, yeah, and has not stopped.
And then the other person, of course, good friend of the show, Mary Beth Franklin, contributing editor of Investment News, former senior editor of Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine, gave us also a quote, and she gave it to me last week for the back of the book, one of Wayne's favorite people, of course. Baby boomers are reinventing retirement. Financial advisors David Hayes and Doug Hughes offer important guidelines for adults on the cusp of this uncharted territory. Throughout our working lives, we tend to focus on how much money we need to save for retirement, but little attention is given to how we spend our time once we get there. In Your Guide to Retirement Planning, they offer thoughtful questions to help pre-retirees envision their next chapter, how to pay for it, and how to adapt if plans change. As Doug always says, the discontinuous change. It's essential, yep, reading for future retirees, Mary Beth Franklin. Now, that's a good quote right there from MBF, wouldn't you, yeah, say, Wayno?
I would say that. She's a great person. I wish she would have put my name in there. But
well, you didn't write the book.
I know.
Golly, it's a lot of work.
Wow.
Doug, I want you to have a great time with your family as you, yeah, with Terry's family over in Illinois, and safe travels on your way back to Bloomington on I-70 through Terre Haute. Is that the route you take?
We used to, but now that Highway 69 has opened up, we've got about 30 minutes, 35 minutes off the trip, and we just take 64, through the Evansville exit areas and then hit 69 and come up by the Crane Gate that probably all of our listeners are familiar with, and end up there on 37.
Well, so make sure you fill up your gas tank before you get on 69, because as you know, there are no gas stations on 69 between Evansville and 231. Hey, Doug, thanks a lot. Safe travels. We'll see you bright and early on Monday morning.
See you Monday morning. Have a great weekend,
all right,
guys.
Thanks, brother. We're going to take a break. Later. When we come back, Wayne and I are going to cap off this show with a fury and flurry of information that you're going to want to hang around and listen to. We're going to talk a little bit about oil and gas prices and how it is great for us right now, but how some countries are starting to hit the panic button and what that could mean for the economies of these well-heeled nations. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Saturday morning live edition. This show will replay on, what is it, New Year's Day, Thursday. Of course it is. Christmas was on a Thursday. New Year's is on a Thursday. And then we'll be back in again live in the studio on the Saturday following New Year's Day, and then back to our Thursday night schedule after that. But there's nothing like live Saturday morning radio. Of course, for 10 years, I did it live every Saturday morning. People are like, how in the world did you do that? You know, I just did it. It was part of my everyday routine. I liked it. I could get it up and over with, and my family would still be in bed like they are this morning. I'd come home with Crescent Donuts or maybe meet them at Wee Willie's for breakfast. It was kind of a cool thing. Jim Emmon used to hang out with me on Saturday mornings. Now he shuns me. I actually invited him to come, Wayne, this morning, but
Jim Emmon,
I can't believe he wouldn't show up.
I was driving on 37 a few days ago, right before Christmas, and this Jeep got up behind me and was trying to go around me, but couldn't quite configure through the traffic. Mm-hmm. Get up to the stoplight there on 3rd Street. I look over. It was Jim Emmon trying to run me over.
Was he in a Santa suit?
He tinted his window, so I really couldn't see what he was wearing.
I remember many years ago seeing Santa driving down the road in a Jeep, and it was our own Jim Inman Jr. He also used to moonlight as the Easter Bunny as well, and watching that guy drive down the road in a Jeep, he'd have to remove his sunroof to stick his ears out the top of it. So
yeah.
That's a good thing. Funny. But Saturday morning, live, I have energy, enthusiastic, having fun with it. Wayne Thacker in the studio. Of course, Doug Hughes just called in. And you know, we were talking about the book, and I've been thinking about doing a kind of a release event of some kind, but I haven't got my hands around that. But we were laughing off air about the difference between children of the Depression and the baby boomers when it comes to money and legacies, leaving money behind. I can tell you that children of the Depression are all about leaving money to their kids. I mean, even if it's $10,000 or $50,000, they want to make sure, they'll go without, Wayne, to make sure
right,
that their kids
exactly
get
right.
that. The baby boomers, yeah, they'd like to leave some money behind, but the big thing they're focused on are leaving memories, are they leaving values, traditions, things of that nature. They're not as concerned about financial assets, leaving those behind, and that actually was brought up in the book under the estate planning, and that's where my son was brought into the story. And basically, you know, he, in the book, it says my 12-year-old son, of course, he's now 14, and I took the age out so the book wouldn't, I wouldn't have to keep going back
right.
to that. But it said something like, hey, Dad, when you die, do I get all of this? And we were standing on the back deck, and I looked around, I said, no. Why not? I said, because Mom and I are going to spend everything, and then we're going to burn the house down. So, of course, we thought it was a little bit funny. He looked at me like I was for real, and I course haven't told him any difference since I told him that day. But yeah, Wayne, it's just people do look at money differently generationally, and you know, who knows what our kids, how they'll look at legacy and leaving money behind.
It's going to be interesting to see as they get older. And you know, Will's 14, Parker's 13, but it's funny to kind of watch them with money now, and as we try to teach them the lessons.
He's stingy, I can tell you that.
Yeah,
my son's stingy. He'd rather spend my money than his money.
Parker is too. He's very stingy.
We Christmas morning, you know, the kid already has everything. I mean, most of our kids do, right?
Yep.
So what do you buy him? Well, he's really into hunting. He's an outdoorsman. He likes that. Your son's kind of adopting that too. And I've always somewhat been an outdoorsman, but not anything like he is. He wants guns, he wants knives, he wants targets to shoot his bow at, I mean, all this kind of stuff. So we get him a gun that he can shoot deer with next year, and we've been talking about going on a hog hunt in Tennessee. I think we're going to do that sometime in January. He's all fired up about that. Well, after all said and done, he says, the one thing I really wanted, this makes you want to choke your kid, by the way, one thing I really wanted was a safe. I wanted the safe. You know I wanted the safe.
Okay.
Like, are you kidding me? Well, just use your own money to buy a safe. Well, I don't want to use my own money. I want to use your money.
Your money, yeah.
Like, no, we're not buying a safe. If you want a safe, we'll go to Sam's and get the safe. He had one picked out that he wanted. So yesterday, you know, fortunately I had other things to do, but we didn't go safe shopping. But I think today after the show, you might see me tooling around Sam's Club, lugging a safe.
Boy, those things are heavy.
And it's going to be with his own money, period, end of the story. So they like our money, Wayne.
He's got his own definition for your money with David Hayes.
He sure does. Hey, Wayne, actually, why don't we take a break right now, and then we'll come back and wrap up the show. I do want to talk about gas prices. You know, we're filling up around here around $2.10, $2.12 a gallon. You know, my car says it's supposed to use that premium grade, but I don't believe that hoopla. I just put the regular stuff in, and it operates just fine on that. So I've saved about 50 cents every time, a gallon per stop. We're going to talk about how it really does benefit people, how that has translated into great consumer sentiment, sales during the holiday season, but what that really means for other countries that are so dependent upon oil and oil prices for their well-being, and then how that can trickle back our way if we're not careful. We're going to take a quick break. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Now, that's not very cheery Christmas, New Year's music to bring us back in for our final break. We need to have something a little more festive than that. Wayne Thacker live in the studio with me on the Saturday morning post-Christmas show prior to New Year's Day. This show will replay on New Year's night, and then we'll be back live in the studio again on a Saturday morning edition, hopefully roping Jim Inman Jr. to join us, and maybe he won't shun us like he did this morning. Doug Hughes was in the great state of Illinois. He's going to drive back, I believe, today or tomorrow and be back in the office on Monday. You know, as you are driving, obviously gas prices are low. Oil continues to drop. I saw it under $60 a barrel. Brent is, and we're in the mid lower 50s with U.S. crude. So, you know, where is this going to go? I don't really know for sure, but it sure seems to be on a downward spiral. In fact, you know, we're all pretty happy about it, right? $2 a gallon, $2.10, fill it up. You know, if you have your Kroger discount card and you bought a lot of gift cards through the Christmas year, you would have maybe another dollar off. I filled up $1.20 the other day.
I'm wondering where I can rent a large tank to just fill up with gas and have it for maybe all of 2015.
That would be a great idea. Yeah. I'm sure the covenants in your subdivision would not allow that. But, you know, nonetheless, great idea, Wayne. Good one for the listeners to follow. Yeah. But here's the thing. Yeah, that gives consumers a feel-good way about them. You know, we have employment working for us. We have good stock markets, low gas prices. All of that are the main drivers of consumer sentiment. And consumers, when they feel good, they generally spend money. And 70% of our GDP, of course, it just was reported that 5% growth for the third quarter, amazing, is based on consumer spending, period, end of story. Same in Europe for the most part, same in Japan, very consumer-driven society. So, what does that mean? Well, it means that we have more money to spend, which can help our economies here. But what about the countries that are so dependent on oil prices? Venezuela, Russia, Iran. I mean, granted, we're put in a better position to negotiate with some of those volatile countries when they're on their tail financially. But what does that mean? Well, it means that the consumer that we're counting on to buy things globally might not be there. You know, if the ruble declines and the Russian people can't, you know, don't have many money, or the people in some of these other emerging economies don't have money, they're not going to be able to pick up that slack that we've been predicting here in the U.S. will happen, and that's a slowdown in consumer spending. It happened in Japan. As you have an aging demographic, again, people, as they get older, they don't spend as much money. And we're not talking about on toys and games. We're talking about necessity spending. Wayne, our kids are young. We're spending a lot on necessity things like shoes and clothes and electricity, right, and food. And, you know, our kids at their age, they eat everything in sight. They leave all the lights on in the house, and it costs a lot of money. And it's just going to continue to happen at a greater rate.
Are we the potato chip? Or you and I, are we the potato chip buyers?
We are. The number one buyers of potato chips
are 40. But not because of us.
It's not because of us. You know, we're in the mid to lower 40s, and it's not because we're sitting around eating chips, although I do love potato chips, especially on Monday night football nights. It's because we're buying them for our kids. So all of these consumer-driven items are driven by demographics, people. You know, that's the thing. Well, as we start to age and we start to spend less, save more, pay down debts, we are counting on global spending to pick up. Well, if these countries are on their tail financially because oil prices are at 40, then they may not be there. So that could trickle back to the United States. So that's what I'm telling you. All this is good. I don't know where the sweet spot is for oil. I'm guessing around 60. If it could stick at 60 and be there at 60, then the drillers in North Dakota could still make money. The OPEC nations could still make money. You know, these smaller undeveloped or underdeveloped economies in places like Venezuela wouldn't go into chaos. So that's what I'm saying. It can create a lot of chaos in the world if oil prices go down. In fact, there was an article that just came out talking about the Saudis hitting the panic button at $40. You know, their entire budget is based on oil and selling oil. Well, if it goes to 40 and they were counting on it being at 80, remember, is it 115, I believe, in June?
Yep.
You know, they're going to be in trouble. I mean, it's just the way it goes. So, Wayne, it does feel good here that we have low gas prices.
In our little bubble.
In our little bubble. But I'm telling you, globally, it's not a good thing that we have oil prices down this low. It just isn't. And, you know, it's not going to spur the alternative fuels that we've been, you know, touting for a while on, you know, of course, solar and wind has been out there for a while, but nat gas, you know, nat gas is on its rear end too. And there's no hope for natural gas if oil's sitting at $40 a barrel, Wayne. I mean, golly, who would go through all the infrastructure cost and the build out of this and that to simply sell it at a couple bucks a cubic ton?
Doesn't make sense.
Wayne, it's been a good year at Comprehensive Financial. It's been a good year for all of our clients and our families. You know, we're grateful to be in the position we're in, to have a great job, a career that we love. And, you know, we've been doing this. I've been doing this since the spring of 2002. So as I circle around to 2015, that will be 13 years I've been doing the show. And it has changed and developed over the years. You know, we're on Saturday mornings from 8 to 9, and then we went from 8 to 9:30 for a while, and then we finally went to Thursday nights. We used to take callers on a regular basis, and then we cut that off a few years ago for compliance reasons. Compliance has definitely changed over the last 13 years.
We should get back to that.
We should get back to that, and maybe, you know, what you always risk when you have open phone lines is that big red panic button that we have here in the studio.
Yeah.
You might actually have to use it.
Right.
I've never had to use it. I've never sworn on air that I know of. I know I've said some stupid things because I don't have a big filter, as you know.
Yeah.
And I appreciate people who have forgiven me over the years for saying silly things. And, you know, hopefully it's just been an entertaining show and something that you've learned from, but you've also laughed. And I've had folks, Wayne, that after a show, maybe we've talked about a real compelling topic, something that, I mean, should just absolutely put axe to root, hit home with people. But then whenever I leave and I run into someone on the street, they'll say, I was listening to your show Saturday, and man, when you talked about your son, you're spending all the money and burning the house down, that was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
And that struck a chord. And people don't realize how much, you know, I see you all week, how much time goes into putting on this show. So hopefully people are thankful for that and get some useful information
out of the show. Well, thank you very much for that. And of course, we'll be on again live next Saturday morning after New Year's Day. This show will replay on New Year's Day and always on WGCLradio.com. So everyone, I hope you had a great Christmas, a happy new year. We'll talk to you in 2015. Goodbye, everyone. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Guest opinions on this show do not necessarily represent those of the radio station, David Hayes, or CFCI. You should always consult with an investment professional before making important investment decisions. Investment advice offered through CFCI, an SEC registered investment advisor, 674 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana.